My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Joined now by Dan Devine. Dan writes for Yahoo about the NBA. The podcast is No Cap Room. You can find it wherever you listen to your podcasts and on Twitter or X at YourManDevine. For Yahoo, he wrote a piece, 2024 NBA Finals. Celtics stunned in lopsided loss to Mavericks in Game 4. What happened? I like the simplicity of that, the blunt simplicity. So I will ask you, Dan, what happened?
I think to some degree that's a human nature loss. You go up 3-0 and you realize that in the 156 prior times that's happened, the team that got that lead won the series. So you got some wiggle room. And maybe, one thing that struck me, I think it was at the shoot-around the morning before. You know, not everybody talks at shoot-around. The Celtics dutifully sent Sam Hauser out to talk at shoot-around. And they asked, the general question was, what's the vibe of the team? And he was, anxious, wish we could play right now. And that could mean two things, right? That could mean, we're excited, we're ready for the challenge, and another thing could be feels kind of weird to be this close to a title. We just kind of want to get this over with. And I think they played a little bit like that. Missed shots, then dovetail into Dallas getting some positive offense, some chances to attack in transition, not against that set Celtics defense. And then Joe Mazzulla is very fond of saying, the two ends of the floor are connected. And it really felt like that. Bad start offensively leads to bad start defensively, gets Luka out on a roll after he had that tough end to Game 3, gets Kyrie on a roll. A couple of the other guys get shots to fall finally, which had not happened at all really through the first three games of the series. And Dallas was just able to sort of play downhill from there, and the Celtics never got any traction. So that Mazzulla wound up pulling his starters with, I think, 3:20 to go in the third quarter. That stood out. Jason Kidd even said, and Jason Kidd's a big fan of tweaking everybody, said, they let go of the rope pretty early. But the game was over well before that. And so Boston just felt like they never even got into the game. Dallas threw the haymaker they needed to, and now we see if Boston can shake it off for Game 4.
It's interesting. Human nature is...
Game 5, rather.
Human nature is peculiar because you could have imagined, it's also human nature to not want to get on the plane, go back to Boston to lose a series that you're going to lose anyway. There's that. Which human nature is going to prevail? The human nature that tells the Mavs, let's just mail this one in and get on our way to a vacation? Or the human nature that tells the Celtics, we don't have to worry about this one because we're not going to lose this series anyway? I do wonder... We know the stat about no one's ever come back from 3-0. I wonder if when teams go up 3-0, do more close out or do more lose? Which human nature is stronger there? I think it's framed a little bit by how the game starts, though, as you point out. At that point, it kicks in and they okay, fine. Well, we'll let go of the rope early.
I think so, and I don't have those numbers in front of me, but yeah. I believe it's more often that it does close as opposed to being forced to a Game 5. I might be wrong about that.
Yeah.
But there's been certainly a number of get, you know, ones where it goes to a game five. I think the rarity is getting further than that. So that's really, I mean, obviously this is really groundbreaking analysis, Divine. The challenge ahead of Dallas is being able to withstand, you keep that momentum going, continue to build on the good things that they found back in Boston. Top of that list, obviously, is Kyrie Irving being able to shake off the difficult start to the series that he had. Everything Dallas does, like the entire formula of their run through the back half of the, or back quarter of the season, you know, after the trade deadline and after they reshuffled their starting lineup through the Western Conference playoffs, the whole formula is Luka plus Kyrie plus defense. That's the whole thing. And Luka, you know, with the exception of the defensive end of the floor and then some, you know, difficulty continuing to produce late in games when he's exhausted and been beat up, Luka's been there, right? That, you know, that's a consistent 30 a night, basically. The defense has, you know, they've given up a lot of the kinds of shots that Boston wants to shoot, but generally speaking, the terms of engagement here have been what Boston wants, getting up around 43s a game, being able to get a lot of shots at the rim, convert the ones that they get at a high level. And it's just about, been really about, can Dallas hit enough tough twos to hang with Boston's relatively easy threes? A lot of those easy threes, though, went away in Game 4, and that's Dallas's defense was significantly sterner, stiffer. I think a lot of that was they got the athletes on the floor more often. You got Derek Lively into the game earlier for Daniel Gafford. You got Dante Exum and Josh Green in there on the wing. And Jason Kidd just kind of had to say, listen, if we go down, at least we go down playing the way that got us here with the guys who played that way. And Dante Exum and Josh Green stood up. Derek Lively had his best game of the series. If those guys are able to sort of provide a little more force, higher pickup points, more physicality, you're not just going to let you walk into the ball screen. You're going to have to fight for that foot of space. We're not just going to let you crash from the corners and get the offensive rebound. We're going to put a body on you, box out, be able to control the ball, and then get out the other way. We're not just going to concede on the offensive. That's on the other end. Derek Lively had 7 offensive rebounds in that game. I believe that's the most any Celtics opponent has had this entire postseason, like more than anybody in the first 3 series put on them. So we're going to make you earn it. And maybe that's just the death rattle, right? The last gasp of, we're doing this out of a point of pride to not get swept. Boston let go of the rope, as we mentioned, and then now you have our full and undivided attention back at home. But that formula for Dallas has been good enough to beat an awful lot of good teams and to put up a winning percentage and a net rating and all those sorts of things that mark them in the last, you know, 35 or 40 games they've played as one of the elite teams in the league. If you do that again, you get Luka with one of those performances again, you get Kyrie off the schneid in Boston again, things can get interesting quick. The odds are against it. But stranger things have happened. Boston knows very well. They went down 0-3 last year and then forced a Game 7. That thing can happen if you're not too careful.
The show that precedes ours, the national show on ESPN, they were being critical of Jason Tatum, who was interviewed yesterday and said, listen, of course we want to win Game 5, but we don't have to. And I paraphrase. But he said, you know, there are other games after that. If we don't win, of course we want to win. We want to win this one. And I'll be honest. Like, I think I don't really take much. In the end, the way you assemble the words, I don't think it means he doesn't want to, is nonchalant about Game 5. Do you attach any particular scrutiny? Maybe if they lose again, every word at that point will feel the pressure will be descending upon them, and we can analyze every word for how they're reacting to the pressure. I think that's Jason Tatum just saying words, like, because he's got to get to the next game.
The most remarkable thing is, so Jason Tatum, as a devout and studied Mamba mentality adherent, right? Uh-huh. Just kind of keeps doing stuff that makes it so that people can continually criticize him as not having that dog right. in him. Like, Jason Tatum plays like 2 of the most selfless floor games of his playoff career, and 2 of the most like consistent, persistent. Even if I'm not making shots, I'm going to work like hell on the defensive end. I'm going to put my head down and drive to the basket. I'm not settling for the sidesteps, step back jumpers. I'm going to rebound like crazy. I'm guarding centers. He does all of the like little nitty gritty hard stuff to win NBA Finals games in games 1 and 2. And all he wants to talk about is that he's not scoring. Then he goes and he scores in the first half of Game 3 to help them get out, or first to withstand Dallas's run and then to get them back towards the lead. Plays great ball in the third quarter, selflessly sort of steps away to give more space for Jaylen Brown to score. And all we talk about is that he didn't actually take the game over and also the game got a little too close in the fourth quarter. Now we get to this, and it's like he says the truth, the actual thing, like, we don't literally have to win this next game. Right. We have three more chances to get one win, and it's again back to, does he have that dog in him? There's a little bit of, like, maybe he could just Euro step around some rakes. He doesn't have to step on everyone. Right. I think you're right. I don't think that's indicative of a lack of seriousness. I think the Celtics, generally speaking, have had a uniform attention to detail, commitment, and focus on the execution. The only real blip we've seen was in that Game 3. Even the games that they lost earlier in this postseason, Miami hit like 25 threes in Game 2 of that first-round series. Cleveland got one game off of them where Donovan Mitchell looked like the best player on the floor, and he's capable of doing that. And that's kind of it. Like, the Celtics have been really locked in, and achievement oriented this whole time. I would be very surprised if they were not that for Game 5.
Two things I didn't realize. Again, we're talking to Dan Devine. The podcast is No Cap Room. You can read his piece on what happened in Game 4. I have tweeted it out. I didn't realize two things. One is, I didn't realize that the NBA draft is on Wednesday night instead of Thursday night. That's got me all confused now. Next week. Sooner the better, as far as I can is concerned from the Memphis perspective. But the second thing that I didn't realize is that the new rules are, if the Celtics win tonight, you've got teams like Cleveland with Donovan Mitchell and Golden State, or Indiana with Pascal Siakam, they can go ahead and start negotiating with their soon-to-be free agents. Are you just going to work right through the evening, out, like right into the morning, the wee hours of the morning? Are we going to start seeing deals tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, to your point, I also had forgotten about the Wednesday night thing, which was really great, because this morning, as we're getting the kids ready to get out the door, my wife is like, so what's the schedule for next week? And I was like, brother, I don't even know what the schedule is for today, which always goes over super well. The answer is, it's sort of, I could, from a process perspective, I can understand a team saying, it feels silly that we don't have the opportunity to negotiate with somebody who's already in-house. We should have the opportunity, like, that should be afforded us, rights afforded to us as the holder of this player's contract. And I get that. And I think that it's also a way to sort of minimize the tampering concerns, because this sort of thing was happening anyway. And you could say, like, hey, come on, man. Like, we already know this guy. We're already talking to him. Like, let us be able to continue to do this. So I get that. I think I would be surprised if there weren't at least a few deals agreed to and a few deals, like, you know, consummated, because, you mentioned Siakam. OG Anunoby in New York, although there's been a lot of smoke about OG Anunoby potentially being somebody who would draw a lot of interest on the market, but there's a lot of discussion that's been like, the Knicks would not have made that trade if there was not some general understanding of a framework for what it would take to bring him back in the summer. Same thing with Siakam in Indiana, and some of the extensions that you're talking about, whether it's rookie scale guys or players, veteran players who are going to be able to tack 2 or 3 years onto their deal. I would be surprised if some of that work didn't get done over the next week. It does not necessarily give people like me a whole lot of a break, but that is not who the Adam Silver of the world care about, and frankly, I find that disrespectful, but I also understand it. It's another way also to keep the NBA from being, having any sort of week or two off. Like, let's keep the pedal to the metal in terms of news that we can generate and then we can talk about on various platforms. So I get it. I appreciate it broadly in terms of the, like, getting to have a job of it all, but yeah, the no rest for the wicked at this point, exactly. I suppose.
The podcast No Cap Room, you can read him over at Yahoo. Thank you, Dan.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Take care.
That is Dan Devine.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.